The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 226th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I'm the host of this lovely show, and joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are we doing?
I'm looking outside, and there's this weird thing in the sky that I'm not used to seeing. Oh, yes, everyone, we are recording during the day. I can see the sun. I am a night walker, as all of you know. I work at night. I sleep during the day. I am a true vampire. But today, I am wide awake because I leave for Revolution in 24 hours, 6 a.m. on Saturday. Way less than 24 hours, so I am great. It's Sting's last match. I'll tell you. This will be I've been to every Revolution, so this will be my fifth Revolution. I am super excited. If you would have asked me in November if I was going to Revolution, the answer was no. I was just like, trying to do less this year, blah, blah, blah. They announced, oh, yeah, Revolution is going to be Sting's last match. And oh, like, shit. Well, yep, I'm going. Because, I did a post on my Facebook, Twitter, way too long. I mean, to sum it up, pretty much my life and Sting career has kind of just run parallel. And Sting has, been a big part of my wrestling fandom for most of my existence. A huge part. I would venture to say the biggest part of my wrestling fandom, if I want to be honest. So, to be there for his last match, is surreal. It is a piece of my childhood going away, and the fact that he is actually getting his flowers, getting everything, getting honored in this seemingly perfect way is just like, I know I'm going to cry Sunday, and I'll tell people, I am definitely not a crying public person. Why did I say I wasn't going to see Iron Claw?
Because you do not like crying in public.
I am not a crying public person. I'm not. Last year, when Cody lost at WrestleMania, they welled up. It was close. It was close. But I was like,
Don't get
down. And I got out of there. I got out of there. And I cried at home in the middle of the night like a real man. You know what I mean? I soaked my pillow. No, just kidding. No, not kidding. No, I did cry, but, like a real man part is a joke. But and I had my moment. So, like I said, not a crying public person. So I imagine at the end of the match, and we'll talk about all the results. I mean, like this is just kind of my opening salvo or whatever. But at the end of the match, there will be tears. Not because I'm sad it's over. Not because I'm sad it's over. Because it's been done so perfectly. His run in AEW has been so perfectly. I can't be sad it's over. It's because I got to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
My first time seeing Sting on TV, 84, 85. I'm like, it's barely when I could barely develop memories. as, you know, I remember my brother talking about the Blade Runners and how they could beat the Road Warriors. I remember that was a big thing, you know, and my brother loved the Blade Runners, and we were watching TV, and I'm like, I don't even know if we saw it every week. Again, this is, I'm three or four, so to when I say I just have this fleeting memory of it, it's, yeah, that's what it is. And, but I do remember, you know, Surfer Sting debuting, and Clash of the Champions 1, I watched again this week, and it was just like, wow. I forgot how much good stuff was on that show. And I didn't know, I honestly didn't remember that was from Greensboro. Because, you know, they said Greensboro means a lot to Sting, but they never specifically said why. Or I never heard it. So, again, I always say that because I don't want to say I never. They might have said it and it just was a comment that never stuck. But then Flash of Champions, Greensboro Coliseum, Greensboro, North Carolina. That's the match that made Sting. Not many times in a wrestler's career you can be like, that one match is where you went from mid-carder or guy that looked good to legit main event babyface. That match was it. That was the match for Sting. So the fact that his last match is in that same city and basically, you know, I don't think it's the same stadium. I think they've, of course, rebuilt it, but, you know, in spirit, the same building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect circle. It's amazing. It's one of those things that I don't know the conversations back, so I'm not burying anyone. But I would have loved WWE and Triple H and all of them to go all in with AEW on celebrating Sting. Not for ratings, not the tribalism, throw all that shit away. I mean, do a little segment on Raw and SmackDown. Not talking about the show. They don't have to sell Revolution. But saying Sting's going to have his last match this week. Sting has been this important part of professional wrestling for the last 40 years. Let's nod our head. Let's congratulate Sting. And they all do it together. I know he's in the Hall already. But it would have been nice if, like, the tribalism could go away for 1 week. And like I said, don't even say that he's going to be a Revolution. Don't even say the time the show is going to be or anything like that. But in like a, they have like 100 videos on their show. Give them a 2-minute video of just saying, thank you, Sting, for everything you've done for WWE. Especially since that's where, you know, he had what he thought was going to be his last match. So I don't know. It means a lot. I'm trying not to ramble. I'm consciously not trying to say the same thing over and over again and make, because I mean, Sting means a lot to me. If you can't tell, I mean, like mm-hmm. I said, I don't tweet a lot. I mean, I've been tweeting a lot this week, but I don't generally tweet a lot. So to take time and make that long ass tweet, not something I do, but no, Sting's worth it. You know, winner is coming. I remember they announced Kenny Omega, the first winner is coming, versus Jon Moxley. And that's when I decided I was going. And then I found out, like, Sting was going to debut, you know, how the wrestling world works. Yeah, and it was like, I was there. And I even said, so many firsts in my life. The first wrestling figure that was bought for me was a Sting figure. Think about that. Like, yeah. I always had hand-me-down toys, you know, all sorts of hand-me-down toys. Don't get me wrong. So it wasn't like that was my first regular figure. But the first time my brother bought a wrestling figure, he went out with his money and bought a wrestling figure for me. It was Blonde Sting. It was the man called Sting. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it means a lot. And this show's going to be short. I was telling, we and Austin were discussing it. He got work to do. The show's going to be short. It's going to be basically Dynamite review this. But yeah, when I talk to the Stings part, I might go on a little bit. I'm going to try to keep it short now that I've already had this long thing. But yeah, Sting means a lot to me.
Yeah. And again, like I've said up and down about how great Sting's time in AEW has been. It's seriously, you don't get a lot of instances where like,
sometimes where a legend comes back and like the longer they stick around, the less and less they feel like that legendary wrestler. Like the longer, like, no disrespect or whatsoever, but like the longer Undertaker tried to continue to try to close out his career the way he wanted to, the more and more the mystique started to fade away. Now he saved it amazingly with him bringing back Biker Taker and everything like that. And he was able to go out the way that he should. But like Sting, it just felt like every time you saw him, he was still Sting. There was no separation from like a guy who is too old to be wrestling and is like the mystique is being lost. No, it's been there from the moment he showed up on Winter Is Coming, and it has stayed there to now. He has been so protected and has been consistently so awe-inspiring to see. As somebody who did not grow up watching Sting, first time I saw Sting was his WWE debut. I saw all of his stuff previously, like I'd watched his stuff, but like first time I ever saw him like in a live capacity was that. And like one of my favorite AEW moments of all time still is Forbidden Door 1, where Sting is supposed to come out, he doesn't, and then Bullet Club comes out, lights go out, and then you look up in the rafters and Sting is there, lights go out, he appears now on top of the stage, and like on top of the entrance stage, and he dives off it. Fucking one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And yeah, dude, I mean, like, he's the icon for a very good reason. It's going to be wild to think that this will be the last time that we see this man in a wrestling ring. The Stinger has been such a huge part of this business, and, like, we are so grateful for everything he's done. And it's just going to be a wonderful send-off. And we'll talk about the match once we get into the more prediction parts of everything, but we got a lot to get into with this show. Of course, we have the go-home show of Dynamite that we're going to get into. But before we get into everything, guys, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that 9 yards. And follow us on social media at ATElitePod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex. They make this show possible and have a bunch of other great podcasts you should check out. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And the big news of the week, of course, is we are heading into the weekend of Revolution. Card looks like it's going to be amazing, and we'll get into everything when we get into our predictions. But we'll real quickly go and review the go-home show of Dynamite. The one thing I will mention from Collision is the no DQ match between Powerhouse Hobbs and Sammy Guevara from Collision this past weekend. Because, my God, they beat the shit out of each other. Like, holy crap. Like, I had to mention that at least. Because Sammy's spot off of the ladder through a table. Sammy literally got his knee dropped onto the barricade. And, like, thing looks swollen after the fact. It was an insanely, insanely good match and a very definitive win for Powerhouse Hobbs to get the win, who I think is just getting better and better and better. I love the fact that we're really making Hobbs look like a big threat. So I had to mention that match, though, because holy cow.
Hey, so in speaking this, and I'm not going to go off on a long tangent, but that match had me watching. Because Sammy Guevara, of course, he's considered one of the four pillars. Early in his career, you know, with the TNT title, he was like super hot when he won the title from Miro. And I just think about it. And it was like, you know, you look at the four pillars, Darby's elevated. He's a main eventer in AEW. You could pretty much put him in the main event of any pay-per-view he works. MJF, absolute main eventer, probably, you know, the young face of the company, if, you know, as that. And then I was looking at Jungle Boy, which, you know, I think there's some stuff always, I think they're really, Jungle Boy is one of those situations where you're like, man, he might not be where you want to, but if you think about it, he's still only like, I think 25, 26. He's very, very young. You know, he's still very, very much got his career ahead of him, so they can get him right. But Sammy, man, Sammy was so hot at one time. I literally just like, man, that guy's going to be the future AEW World Champion. There was no doubt. Fans were around him. He had Fuego with him, and it was just like, I don't feel that way anymore. And definitely, I think this is not take away from the talent, not take away from Sammy's hard work, dedication to Vince. I mean, just that match, all the bumps he took, he was amazing. I really wanted to say this because this is a thought, and it's a thought. It's not meant to disparage Sammy, but it's just, it's wild how much I don't feel that about him right now. Like, the match was amazing, and Sammy can always have that amazing match, but when I look at his trajectory going forward in AEW, I don't see him as a main event guy. And it was just, at one point in time, it felt like he was going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Yeah, it's like, so that's why, like, when I say this, I'm not disparaging Sammy. I love Sammy Guevara. It's just his book.
Dude, when he was coming out with the freaking panda mask, I was like, what is this guy about? Like, yeah. I couldn't get a read on him, and he's so very perfectly, like, found his role and has just really honed his craft, and he's like, he's damn good.
Yes, it just seems like some booking, some injuries, some bad time. It felt like at a point in time his career had been kind of snake bitten. So I hope they fix it. But it's just like, as a person that 5 years in, one of the first times I saw Sammy Guevara live, you know, was like the show apparently that got him signed with AEW. And, you know, that over the 5 years, I've seen him go up, down, and he's just kind of in this lost area right now. And I, you know, with someone as talented as him, and he has so much big match talent, I hope they can get that right.
For sure. I think him and Ty having a kid too also
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I was saying there's been a lot of things. I didn't want to say that specifically because I didn't want to be like blaming the kid.
He had more priorities changed over it.
Yeah, but when Okada, Ospreay, you know, all this talent coming in, you know, it's like
you want to see Sammy lock up with those guys.
Yeah, I want to see Sammy lock him and Ospreay. Oh my god. That's definitely a dream match.
Puppy!
Winston came to say hi. Hi, Winston.
Winston!
How you doing, buddy? I don't think I've been giving him enough attention today, but actually, you know what it is? Guess what he's not used to seeing?
Not used to seeing you talk while doing the podcast in the morning.
In the day. Yeah, you're not supposed to be up right now. I'm supposed to be being quiet so you can sleep right now. And it's like really weird. and he's like, so you're awake, so let's play, you know? I want to see more for Sammy. This is more of a kind of shout out to the ether to keep Sammy important. Remember who he is in the company. And it's crazy to me, this. And I think this is one of the things that I think the Tony Khan productions might be missing is the use of ROH, right?
Sure.
He's kind of on the downspeed, but because you kind of got all the belts tied up in Eddie Kingston right now, right? Why couldn't you be featuring Sammy Guevara like every week on ROH, getting ready for an ROH world title match at like Supercard of Honor or something, still keeping him important, still keep him in it. I'm like, you have all these belts. He could be in some type of thing. Cause the Don Callis thing, come on. I mean, honestly, and I want to be honest, they putting on great matches, but do you care about this feud at all, Austin?
No, Don Callis has fallen. Like, his heat is like dissipating so quickly. Like, I know, like, the fans are keeping it up, booing him relentlessly whenever he talks and stuff like that, but, like, everything surrounding that, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't care about this feud. I really want Sammy away from it because it's just, it's not helping. You know,
no,
you're going up against a major heel group, it's supposed to be helping you, and it's not seriously helping them right now. But it is making Will Hobbs, because Will Hobbs looked like
that's the one thing that has really worked out of it.
Will Hobbs looks like Juggernaut, and it's just like, dude. And then he comes out without Don Callis, and it's just like, does Will Hobbs need Don Callis?
I was going to say, Don Callis, to the point where he can eventually get out of there.
Yeah, no, and I'm not even saying Don Callis is doing anything bad. I'm just like, when he cuts his very angry promos and then he just goes out there and destroy anybody, it's like, Will Hobbs is Will Hobbs, you know.
Yeah.
He stands on his own. But we're going on a tangent. Let's go.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Only one last thing I would mention from Collision is the fact that, like, I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you haven't seen Danielson versus Akiyama, like, fix that. Like, yes. That match.
Really good match. Oof. Really good ending that logically led into a different match. Also, my wrestling love has been up because we have gotten a shit ton of FTR over the last few weeks.
I know, dude. Your boys have been everywhere.
Dude, if you're an FTR fan, this should be the happiest time for you. I'm like, win, lose, or draw, you're seeing them every week. They're Dynamiters, they're Colliders, they're AEW. So I've been loving it, and they've been putting on really good matches.
Absolutely.
You know what? Okay, I got to tell y'all because this is so super hilarious to me. You know what? My dog is. He's barking at his reflection. He's staring at the TV and barking at himself.
That's so funny.
He wants to know who that dog is and why he's in my room.
Oh, Winston. little lad. So while Winston tries to figure out who the dog in the TV is, we'll move over now to our AEW Dynamite review from the Go Home show that took place in Huntsville, Alabama. Show opened up with Hangman having an important announcement ahead of the Revolution show, and he comes out, and he's got a crutch. And immediately, like, because injuries have been a consistent problem recently, and you're just like, oh, dear God. So he comes out, and he's like, doesn't look like a promising start to his speech, and he talked about AEW and the opportunity this company was for us to rise people's expectations, and they accomplished so many things like that. Talked about winning the world championship in 2021 as the biggest accomplishment of his career, and hated the fact that this became a three-way, but you know what? I said it should be decided in a singles match, but I had the wrong two competitors. So he said, I apologize, Story over Samoa Joe. I will not be able to compete at Revolution. He's like, I'm always honest with you guys. I will not be able to compete. Swerve comes out, and I'm fully expecting a Drew McIntyre level, I prayed for this and it happened moment. He comes out, and he's like, I've tried to kill you. We've been at war these last 6 months. You tried to kill me. I didn't expect this to happen. I targeted you because of everything you accomplished. I have the utmost respect. If I said I didn't have the utmost respect for you, it'd be a flat-out lie. But you suffered this unfortunate fate, and the thing is, you can't escape fate. You can't stop destiny, and still my destiny is to be the AEW World Champion. Joe then comes out, and there he goes on like, what are we talking about destiny right here? These two bitter enemies trying to hug it out, and there's like, week after week, you guys are staring daggers at each other, talking about this destiny, and you're not making eye contact with me, remembering who the real man around here is. And Hangman, he called Hopalong, and he's like, you guys are hungry, accomplished wrestlers, but the only reason you're hungry is because I'm starving your ass. He talks about how he's going to whip both their asses. Swerve then goes off, trying to be like, I'm going to explain to you who the hell I am. I went from unemployed to headlining pay-per-views, someone who was being a cruiserweight to going after the world championship. He said all that kind of stuff. And then he said, after I take that championship away from you, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. You might want to go back to commentary wearing a poncho again. Amazing this. And again, he brings up, while Hangman's literally like behind him, he's like, I broke into somebody's house and threatened their kid. You don't know what I'm going to be able to do to you. You think I'm not going to be able to do whatever it takes. And I'm just like, Hangman, you look like such a beta right now with him just talking shit. And then Hangman, as he sort of finishes his whole speech, takes the crutch, smacks Swerve across the back. He ain't got no hurt ankle or nothing. And he just starts beating the hell out of him with the crutch. And Joe's just watching up top and just enjoying it, all of it. And Hangman screaming, he won't be champion, I'll be champion, damn it. And Hangman literally was like, you know what? I'm so psychotic. I'm just going to lie my way to be able to get an open shot at taking out Swerve with a foreign object. This man is a man possessed. He is psychotic, and he is doing everything he can to kill him. And I have also small thing. Why the hell did Hangman go up the face tunnel after that whole ordeal? He lied about an injury to crack a man in the back, and yet he's going up the face tunnel. I thought the idea was that Hangman was kind of being the heelish kind of persona, and Swerve was honestly more so even kind of becoming a bit more face. It seemed like we were getting ready for a double turn, and now we got Hangman going up the face tunnel. That man is not a face.
Well,
Cowboy is not a face.
I got to say this about this, and I will say this. AEW has done this. Face and heel is the wrestler's perception of who we are. Who he is. Hangman feels justified in everything that he's doing because that man crossed the line and went into his house.
Sure.
That man drank his blood. You know what I mean? Or he drank that man's blood. I don't remember how it went. But they made each other bleed. So he feels justified in everything he's doing to Swerve. Hangman is like, I don't understand why the fans don't hate Swerve because this dude's a fucking monster. You know what I mean? And so Hangman sees himself as a face, much like Cody saw himself as a face. You know what I mean? As in the character work. It's like, yes, he's a heel, but he sees himself as a face. He sees himself as justified, right? He's like, dude, what this man has done to me, everything I'm doing to him is justified. So that's how I see it. That is how my brain has fixed.
It's the perfect spot for him because, like I said, he's so taken aback. Like, why do people like Swerve?
Yeah, like why do you like this man? Yeah, like, this dude is the devil. Like, he's, like, and it's not like Adam Cole. He is worse than Adam Cole. He broke into my house and was breathing on my kid. It's like, yeah. Now, it's one of my favorite storylines because it's kind of complicated. But it's very simple. Swerve has drove Hangman crazy. And now Hangman is looking at Swerve being popular and everybody's cheering him and he cannot understand why.
Yeah. He does not understand.
Like, so, okay, all right, you got the fans. You stole the fans from me, but that's all you're getting. You're not getting that title. You're never going to get that title. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care if I have to fake an injury, which is completely against who I am. I don't care if I have to sneak attack you. I don't care if I have to purposely injure you, which is completely against who I am. I am doing everything I can to keep you from being the champion.
Yep, exactly. I love the character work in this, and this title match has got me so excited with all this. It's going to be so well done. I just know it. We then had the Young Bucks come to the show, basically being like, they're looking for Sting, and they want to thank him for his contributions and conduct his exit interview as they hold white baseball bats. And then also in terms of the meeting that they had with Ric Flair last week, he said it went great. So we'll move over to the trios match of Eddie Kingston and FTR versus the BCC, Moxley, Claudio, and Danielson. This match
was exactly what you, like, when you say these six people are wrestling, it's exactly what you would imagine. Yeah,
and also, too, they went for a while. Like, it felt like, honestly, it felt like a significantly longer Dynamite match than I'm used to. Like,
It felt long, but I did want to say
it
this.
It didn't overstay its welcome, I will say, but like, they beat the hell out of each other that entire time.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say about this match, it was just like, if you saw the card before the show, there wasn't a lot of wrestling announced.
No.
So when I was looking at it, I felt like it could be something that ate up some time, and I think it did well. I think it... best thing I liked about the match, because I just like working, watching FTR wrestle. I could talk about that every day, but how it really told into the stories when FTR hit the Shatter Machine. You know, they've hit that Shatter Machine on Claudio, and they've hit it on Mox, and they haven't even got to try cover. right? It's like once we hit that shatter machine and get the cover, it's over, right? And they have not seen you. They've hit it, but you haven't seen them get the pin. And then Bryan Danielson is like, I mean, this is New Japan in a three-way. He just, like, dominates Eddie Kingston. And he looks like this huge threat for Eddie Kingston in the pay-per-view. And I just thought they, in the realm of the triple, or in the realm of the trios, they still told both individual stories that are going on. And I thought they did it well as foreshadowing towards the pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, they did everything possible to make you, like, itch to see these guys go at it in the tag match on Revolution. And, again, teasing Eddie and Danielson, because, like I said, those two matches are probably going to be some of the most hard-hitting matches of this entire show. It's so exciting.
There are so many matches, like, on this show that are, like, for certain, barring, like, some kind of major, like, thing happening. I'm not going to even put the word out there or anything, but major thing happening. There are so many, like, certified, these are going to be amazing matches on this show. This six-man represented two of those matches. I'm like, you put Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston for that title. That can main event any Dynamite. That can main event a Collision. You know, like, that's a main event match. And then you have FTR, literally one of the two most decorated tag teams in AEW history. And then you have Mox, the champion has been the most. Claudio, very much important part of this company. And it's like, you put them all in the ring, and it's just like, that can be the main event of any show. So it's just like, you have two main event matches on this pay-per-view, and neither one of them are the main event.
Yeah, I know. It's honestly kind of nuts, just considering the talent and the star power that's in these two matches. So again, it's going to be so exciting when these matches take place at Revolution. We then had the official welcome for Will Ospreay, who is officially All Elite. All of his obligations with New Japan are wrapped up. He is here for full-time work.
This was like the most Will Ospreay promo that ever Will Ospreay.
Yes. Because,
everybody's like, oh, like Samoa Joe, he's just the ass kicker, you know, and you have Eddie Kingston, and he does it. Will Ospreay does a promo. And, like, I've seen a bunch of different types of promos from Will Ospreay, yes, but this one is probably one of my favorite because he comes off as so relatable, you know, in this promo. And then, you know, he reminds you in the same promo that he's put on some of the greatest matches in AEW history when he wasn't even part of AEW. Beat the top tier of AEW, and he wasn't even part of AEW, which I will tell anybody this. You talking about laying the groundwork for you, someone signing with your company before their contract's up? Tony Khan did that, and he did it well. You know what I mean?
He made sure that nobody can ever say, like, who's Will Ospreay? Motherfucker, yes, they've shown you.
Yes, this dude is putting over Orange Cassidy, one of the biggest stars. Chris Jericho, their first champion. Like, he is beating some of the biggest names in the company. He hasn't even debuted yet. And, dude, I just thought this was perfect as an introduction to Will Ospreay for some people that, you know, I wouldn't say first time, but one of the few times that they've seen Will Ospreay of like type of character he is. I think he's going to get a massive following there's that part people that just like real characters. It's like when Will Ospreay cuts a promo, it's just Will, that man cutting a promo. You know what I mean? It's not like this. It never feels like he's working. It just feels like, you know, I got to fight or whatever, and let's do it. And I just think he's amazing because it's so him. He doesn't he doesn't try to be anyone else.
And like you said, with the relatability aspect man went from talking about like they lost my luggage. I had to make a whole ordeal trying to get here because I didn't find my luggage until I eventually did find it. But then also remember, I beat Orange Cassidy and I beat Kenny Omega. And I pinned the first ever world champion, Chris Jericho. I haven't even gotten my first match as a signed wrestler, and I'm already further along than anybody else in this company.
Like, you could literally put him in a world title match or international championship match, and it'd be fine. Because, I mean, yeah, he's beat, like, some of the best. I mean, I think he had a singles match with Dax, and they put on a banger. I mean, this dude has been protected so well that you've already put in a lot of equity in him, and he hadn't even debuted in your company.
I know. Then Don Callis' family comes out, and they're all just being like, oh, we're going to steal the show at Revolution. At the end of the day, the real winners of this match is going to be the Don Callis family, because everyone's going to be all good. Because, you know, it's like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They go hard against each other in practice, but come together and win championships. So he's like, shake hands, you two, Takeshita and Ospreay. This is history in the making. And they shake each other's hands. They pull each other back in at both. And then they're just talking shit a little bit. And Don's just kind of like, okay, yeah. But yeah. Story-wise, I don't care about the story of this match. I care about Takeshita and Ospreay, like, dude, doing the best at wrestling.
Dude, this is one of those things. I know, I assume I know that there's going to be some Don Callis stuff in it, right?
Oh, sure.
But give me the 20 minutes of just amazing pro wrestling before you get to that.
That's all
Yeah, give me the 20 minutes before you do what you do in that last two. Just give me two of the best wrestlers on this planet doing what they do. Give me a taste of what this can be in the future. Just give it to me. Give me that 20-minute preview of what it can be, and then do your stuff.
Exactly. We then had Eddie Kingston get disrespected by Matthew Jackson, saying basically, you know, you talked crap on us on the Collision. Next time it would be a fine. And also, can you actually dress professional for once? Okay. Orange Cassidy then proceeded to have his international championship open challenge, which was accepted by Nick Wayne. And this was a pretty damn good match. I think the fact that the BCC match had so much staying power in it, like, I think it maybe overshadowed this match a little bit, but they still did a damn good job. Nick Wayne, I think, has such potential, and, like, dude, they were moving all over the place. This was a nice, like, fast-paced match to follow up, like, just the physicality of what you got in the trios match. But as the match was going on, he hits the beach break, nearly gets the finish, but then the Undisputed Kingdom come out with Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. They're trying to mock Orange Cassidy, and as this is happening, Orange is distracted and gets hit with a dragon suplex. Rocky Romero and Trent come over, and they even the odds. They start fighting on the outside. The ref is distracted, and then Nick Wayne is taking off a turnbuckle pad, but that's when Daniel Garcia comes out, and they start talking crap, and Nick Wayne, because he's a stupid kid, was too busy talking shit and was not focused on what he needed to do, and that's when he turns around and gets Orange punched in the face. Orange Cassidy retains the international championship, but that's when Roderick Strong comes in and ambushes him. And that teases in for their international championship match at Revolution. I thought this was pretty well done. It was able to get everything teased up from everybody's matches with Danny Garcia and Christian Cage.
Yeah, it's very clear that Don Callis and the family, or just probably Don Callis, is going to have something to do with this match.
For sure, yeah. But I still thought this open challenge match was pretty damn solid. And again, it gives me more excitement for Nick Wayne's development, I feel like, as a wrestler.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Nick Wayne is the future. And I was listening to a show, and they were talking about him being 19. You know, like, I mean, 18. And I'm like, so you think about it. Like, win, losses, all that stuff doesn't matter right now for him. This is all him getting familiar with the team. And like in 7 years, you put 7 years or whatever, him being in whatever thing you want, he's only going to be 25. So I'm really excited for Nick Wayne. He's going to be great. So looking forward to it going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We moved over to Chris Statlander versus Sky Blue.
They did a damn good job. That was the one thing we're unfortunately about. I think that we're going to get some buy-in matches announced and all that kind of stuff, but there's only one women's match again on this card with Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. Disappointing, but, you know, Chris and Sky Blue did a damn good job, I felt like. I'm still trying to figure out exactly, like I said, because Julia Hart and Sky Blue have officially, like, established themselves as a force together, which was shown up with Statlander getting screwed over, basically, because Julia Hart comes in and hits her with the TBS title belt. Stokely tried to get Chris Statlander to cheat, but Willow was like, don't do that, don't do that. And honestly, Chris might have done better if she actually listened to Stokely in that position. So I like that we've established Julia Hart and Sky Blue as like a force together, like they're partners and all that kind of stuff. Still trying to work out like when we're going to get an actual TDS championship match and how that's going to get set up. But at the very least, like this was a solid enough match, but does show one of the slight disappointments with this Revolution card going forward. There's one women's match, and it's a world title match. So TBS Championship is still awesome with Julia, but we're kind of losing a bit of momentum.
And it's one of those situations. Tony Khan has kind of talked about over the last 2 weeks or two, and you can kind of tell from Julia, she's hurt. She can't wrestle right now. So it's just like, of course you want another match on the show. I thought they've been doing a really good job over the last few weeks of Thunder Rosa being undefeated and Serena being undefeated. You could probably do that on the show or something like that.
I was
like
going to say, yeah, with the fact that we got Serena and Thunder Rosa like doing stuff on Collision, like I'd love to see them get a match.
But with I will say this. I don't want to just force the match. Make it make sense. And at this point, it does feel like the match would be forced. So, you know, you got the women's division. You got a lot of people coming back from injury. I think it will get its spotlight. It's just, this show's about Sting's last match.
And I know. Anything else is going to be feeling like lesser than Sting's last match.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Winston! Choice it!
It's so funny because he left, because I have the door open. He left so he could go play. And again, one of the reasons we don't record during the day.
Winston likes to play.
Yes, this is his uptime. So when he was outside, and it was just like, and he, I guess, you know, I got excited about something, and he's like, oh, so are you calling me? Hey, how's it going? I'm here if you need me. Oh,
see, this is why I have cats, though. I got my little girl Nina sleeping on my bed, and she's just passed out, not making any noise.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I get it.
Were you ever a cat person, or were you always dogs first?
Oh, no. Dogs first. My experience in life, I've never been around a lot of cuddly cats.
My cats are super cuddly. Dude, my one cat will literally... we're off topic, and then we'll get back to the schedule. My one cat, I'll be in the shower. I'll get out. I'll start drying myself off, and he will be meowing like, let me in. I need attention. Like, I think you're drowning in the shower or something. Like, let me in. I need to save you. And I'm just like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? And funny enough, that cat's name is actually Darby.
Yes. That's funny. Like I said, I mean, in the big scheme of things, we're just about to hit. We've had him for, 4 months? We're still learning each other, so.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
He's
a good boy. He
wants to play. Like,
exactly.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he wants to play. You could wake him up at 1 a.m. where he's like, passed out. And let's play, let's go. I'm pretty sure he needs another dog, but I'm not getting another dog. You know what I mean?
That's a whole commitment in itself.
Yes.
I totally get that, though. Now, in the EVP's continued search to try to find Sting, they eventually went into his dressing room, to which I swore they were going to make a jab at Punk with this, but that's just me being paranoid and all that type of shit. Ironic. They break into his locker room, and then there's baseball bats hanging from the ceiling. Love the mind games. I love the secrecy of when we were going to see Sting So I thought that little moment was cool. And then
a bunch of nice little callbacks to.
I was like, I like these callbacks, and it led to the biggest one of the night, which we'll talk about. But then we had Lionheart Chris Jericho versus CMLL's Atlantis Jr. Accompanied by Atlantis Sr. And I loved the videos they showed from CMLL's archive of Jericho wrestling Atlantis Sr. and tying that into him wrestling his son. I love the fact that they showed that this is historic for Jericho's career, of him wrestling in CMLL. And it was just really cool. They did some really good stuff in this match. There was a point where Atlantis Jr. Jumped, did a tope suicida and just freaking so smooth, so well done. He performed very, very well. I've never seen either of these guys personally, but he moved so well. And it was just awesome to see this kind of blast from the past, in the current day. As the match was going on though, Jericho, he did an amazing hurricanrana off the top rope, looked for the Judas effect, missed it. He got his backbreaker finisher, which looks so hard to do, but was so cool. He got out of it. Nice transition into the walls. Then Atlantis knew that basically this thing's over. He throws in the towel because he's he knew his son was not going to tap out. So he's just I got to stop this now because he's going to die. And Jericho gets the win by that. And, thought it was damn good. Honestly, it was a nice little small, story told in this one match, calling back to the history of these guys' careers. I love the way they set it up.
I wonder if O'Shea Jackson smiled.
I was going to say, they showed video. Yeah. They showed all the stuff. What's the purpose of this? It gives you the reasoning.
Yes. And, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff on, how the match went and stuff. And I thought it was fine. Honestly, with the video package, got to be real. I didn't really care about this match. I just didn't. It was pretty decent. It was fine. As an introduction to Atlantis Jr., I did like the idea that Chris Jericho is technically a face right now, right?
Yes.
But, he thought, oh, yeah, I could go out there and, put on a nice, friendly match, technical match, but that's not going to help this kid develop in America. He has to see the type of experiences and the type of opponents you're getting, and people are going to be ruthless. And it was funny. It was in beating the crap out of him, he was mentoring him. And it was it's not a common wrestling storyline. So, but it's not a common wrestling storyline. So it probably didn't with me, it didn't grab my heartstrings, but the fact that it was different, it was something different. It was something you don't see a lot. I thought that was really cool. And he taps him out and he's he does all this stuff. And then he hugs him because I didn't beat you up because I wanted to win. Beating you does nothing for me, but how I beat you and how I showed you how ruthless you have to be that beating is going to do more for you in the future than it ever did for me. That was the lesson I was going to give you. And he set it up in the interview that that's what he was going to do. He was going to I'm going to be ruthless because this is how people are here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love the way they built this up in just the single show that they had, was honestly very well done. We move into the final moment of the night though. It's Matt and Nick. They come out and they have their sting, their bats in. They are looking down the the crowd, and there's multiple people wearing Sting masks. And he rips off one of the fans' Sting masks, and it's just some random dude. And then one fan removes his Sting mask, and it's Darby Allin. He jumps over and starts fighting the Young Bucks. That's when the Bucks start getting some of their damage out on Darby, hitting the EVP trigger, laying him out with baseball bats. And then that's when they call out Ric Flair. And Ric Flair is walking down gingerly as the Bucks continue to beat up on Darby. Matt gives Rick a bat, and that's when Flair winds up and then pokes Nick in the eye and then chops Matt and then just starts trying to fight back, and then he gets low blowed and they start beating up on Ric Flair. First of all, absolutely pointless. Like, that whole tease of the fact of like, oh my God, they're going to have Ric Flair turn on Sting thanks to the Bucks and all that kind of stuff. Pointless. That's when Sting's music played and they walk up the ramps and they've got their bats in hand. And right there, I was like, he's coming down from the ceiling. He's coming down from the rafters. And he's comes down, he's harnessed in, and he just gets lowered from the ceiling. Full-on WCW, like, old-school Sting shit. And he drops down, and then that's when he descends from the rafters, and he takes his baseball bat and hits Nick with it. Darby hits a coffin drop on the Bucks. They get Nick with the Scorpion Death Drop, and like Flair and Sting are all good with each other, and then that's the tease as they got the advantage right now as we head into the final Sting match. And what a way to have Sting's final Dynamite appearance, coming down from the rafters, old school shit, and like so expertly done. So expertly done.
They got me. They got me on this one.
Weren't expecting it. Went up the ramp, I'm like, he's coming.
No, like once the Flair thing happened, I figured it was coming. You know, I did figure it was coming. And you know, it's funny how you learn after 20 years, right? So he comes down and he's obviously in the big harness like he was in the WCW days. Like, you know, he's 60. They're not, you know.
No, absolutely.
They're not cutting any corners, right? But he comes down, and then the camera shot goes directly to the Young Bucks' face while he's taking all that shit off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember in the WCW days, he'd do it in the middle of the ring. They go to the Young Bucks, stay on him until Sting is ready, and then they finish it. That was just one of those little things, you know, some people pay attention to, some people don't. I thought it was great. In that moment, I was, 16 years old, sitting in my house, watching WCW, and it was just a great way to end the show, great way to end Sting's time Sting's time on Dynamite. You know, like, Sting's, you know, And just to let y'all know, Sting is retiring as an active pro wrestler. He is not going to wrestle anymore.
No.
But he's still going to be around. They have made that very clear. So if Sting is ever in Darby's corner and stuff, don't be like, I thought he was retired. Don't. They have let you know that he's still going to be around the company. This is his time as an active wrestler. He's a little older in age. I mean, and honestly, it's funny because his last match is Sunday. If you look, that dude has meet and greets at different cons for like the next 5 months. He ain't stopping. He's just gonna, you know, 65-year-old body probably shouldn't be taking bumps and jumping off of.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it might be the time to say.
He even still thought it was crazy when he was jumping off of shit like just a couple years ago.
Yeah, so Sting's gonna be around. I just wanted to let you know because I just don't want to hear that even though you probably still will, I don't want to hear that on the internet. Like, oh my God, I thought he was retired. Yes. He's retired from wrestling, but he's still Sting. He will still be an elder statesman in the company. Tony Khan says he's welcome to come back and get on the headset. And if you haven't, go read Darby Allin's player.
I was just going to say, the way that he speaks about Darby, it's like, you know, they say don't meet your heroes. And like he met the right hero.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Sting has been in wrestling like legit 40 years. I think this might be like the 40th anniversary of his debut. Like 84, 20. Yeah, 50. 50th anniversary of his debut. So he's been in the 50 years, and in this world of professional wrestling where there's a lot of backbiting, backstabbing, all of this, literally, don't hear anything bad about Sting.
Nothing bad.
Like, you don't. And it was just like, I remember Sting was going to be the third guy in the NWO, and, you know, he was just like, and they was like, they gave it to Hogan and it blew up, and they was like, Sting was never really bitter that it was Hogan in the NWO, long as it worked. And it was just like, yeah, you, like 50 years and you don't hear anything bad about Sting. Do you know how hard that is? Dude, I am 43, and I'm pretty sure some people will have something bad to say about me. I don't know what it would be, because I try to be pretty good to people, but I'm pretty sure somebody would have something bad to say about me. And it's just 50 years in the carny industry that is professional wrestling, and no one has anything bad to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, that's Stinger for you. That is Stinger for you. That right there, though, is our AEW Dynamite go-home show review. Now, for Rampage tonight, we also have to mention, too, because it'll go into all our pay-per-view predictions. The Meaty Madness match got canceled. Injuries, and basically, it wasn't able to be set up the way that it should have been. You know what I mean? Like, there was not, like, the only people they had were, I believe, Hobbs, Wardlow, and Brian Cage, I think. It's not enough. If you're going to do a match called Meaty Madness, it has to be all the way over the top. And with the injuries to guys like Miro and all that kind of stuff, like, you weren't going to get to the level that they needed. So they just scrapped the match completely.
I figured, in my mind, it was at minimum, you needed six people. And I think for my own amusement, the Butcher had to be in the match. Because how do you have a Meat Madness match without meat? And Johnny Hungry hasn't really used the Meat Man very often, man. So
he hasn't, since he and the rest of the Dark Order have been heel.
But yes, having that small dude that he's really jacked. If you look at him, he's a small dude, but he's jacked. It would have been my own personal little ha-ha moment. But yes, I mean, but if you're going to have a Meat Madness match and you're paying tribute, I know you're not saying it, but you this got to be for Big E. Come on.
Yeah, you got to find a way to make that as like he can just be like not even a ring announcer. Just have him send in a video to introduce the match.
So That's all. I had this thought, and this is just a side thing. Never expect to see it. But I was like, dude, have set a weight limit, right? And then you see like Ethan.
Well, and also if you were ever going to bring back the awfully produced weigh-in promo that they did for Cody and Anthony Ogogo.
Yes,
you bring in the weigh-in, you get an actual digital scale though.
Yes,
and you do the weigh-in for this match when you get all six plus big meaty men weigh in, and then you just say all of their weights.
Yes. Vignettes for weeks of Ethan Page trying to eat as much food as possible so he can be in the meaty match.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I want to be in this. There has to be someone who wants to be in this match.
Yes, and they're trying to bulk up. It's nice little funny 30-second little vignettes.
Exactly.
Dude, I would just have fun with it because it's...
And it needs more than three weeks of build, and it needs... like full buy-in.
Yes, yes, and that's the whole thing. I was never against this match. I wanted to make it meatier. It was like, exactly. Dude. I mean, this is Meat Lovers Pizza meaty, but I want it to be double XL Meat Lovers Pizza Epic Food Challenge meaty. That's how meaty I wanted. I wanted to be Big Mac. I want it to be Big Mac lasagna meaty. Let's go. Let's put some meat on top of some meat. And dude, so I don't know when they're going to do it. But now that you know this is something you want to do, make it so much of a bigger deal when you do it. Just like go completely into it. Let it main event a Dynamite and, you know, just have it ridiculous.
Yeah. So the Meaty Madness match got replaced with an all-star 8-man scramble match, which will include Brian Cage, Wardlow, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Also will include Lance Archer, Hook, and Chris Jericho. And the winner of this match gets a AEW title match. Or was it AEW or TNT title match?
I think it's the world title. I think, yeah, world it's title. The world title. Yeah, because, I mean, logically, if they've been building one person to really go after the world title, and he's in this match, so I think that's one of... That's what's basically going to happen.
That's what I thought, too. So those six guys are in the match, but there are two more spots in this eight-man scramble, and they will be determined on Rampage tonight with the qualifying match between CMLL's Magnus versus Matt Sydal, and then on Collision with the match the three-man match, which will include Penta El Zero Miedo, Bounty Hunter Brian Keith, and Dante Martin.
Yes, and when we do the preview, we will be spoiling who won that. I'm going to let you know when we do the preview, we're going to just go ahead and say who's going to be in the match because, you know, for previews purposes. Yes,
we need to be able to get the whole thing in. But like I said, that is our Dynamite preview. So let's go into our predictions for AEW Revolution. We will start with that scramble match. So like I said, Jericho, Hobbs, Lance Archer, Wardlow, Brian Cage, Hook, and then the other two, Floyd?
Are Magnus and Dante Martin.
Yep. And
still watch the matches, but...
Yeah, still watch the matches, absolutely.
Yes, it's for the preview purposes.
Yes. But overall, in this match, my pick would 1,000% be Wardlow. Because, I mean, the build has been for him and him alone. His promo that he cut prior... it needs to be either Wardlow or Powerhouse Hobbs. I will go with Wardlow just for recency bias because of the promo that he cut last week. I think they're setting him up how he wants to be world champion, and I think this is the point where he gets his opportunity. So I'm going to go with Wardlow.
Yeah, I feel like Wardlow's not the logical next world championship contender, no matter who wins the main event. I think it's just a no-brainer to go with Wardlow. Actually, I would literally be annoyed if they went with anyone else, even if I like Powerhouse Hobbs. It's just he has this other thing going on, and I just think what you've been foreshadowing is Wardlow winning this match.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. Next up, we have FTR versus Moxley and Claudio. We boys here are biased. I think we are both picking FTR. And I don't think there's any way you're changing our minds.
Dude, I will say this. Of course I want FTR to win. It's in North Carolina. I mean, it's FTR country. But would I be upset if Moxley and Claudio win? No, because I do think, I see a path where if the Young Bucks win the match, that the winner of this match is the next contender. So, I don't know. I've had many thoughts go through my head. Of course, my prediction is FTR, and that's not unbiased. I just think it makes the most sense going forward because they are a full-time tag team.
Yeah.
And then you gave Mox the singles win. FTR needs the tag win. But, maybe it doesn't necessarily just end in this match and it keeps going because I've really enjoyed this rivalry.
Yeah, no, I have. I've enjoyed it tremendously. We then have the TNT Championship match between Christian Cage and Daniel Garcia. I think this match will be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a nice opportunity for Danny. I think Christian's going to do some great job of just getting him worked up during the match. But Daddy Christian is retaining his belt.
Yes, and I feel like, again, North Carolina, this is Edge's home state. There's no way he doesn't make an appearance on this show.
No chance he doesn't show up. There's no chance he doesn't show up.
And I know I call him Edge, and I know he's Adam Copeland, but God damn it. I've been calling him Edge since the mid-90s.
I get it.
I'm sorry. It's like, I'm sorry.
It is what it is. We then have Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita. Very well likely could be one of the matches that steals the show. Ospreay will once again continue his incredible run that he's had, but get his first win as a signed AEW competitor. And he will beat Konosuke Takeshita. And I do not think he's going to show respect to... Well, I think maybe he'll try, but Konosuke will beat the shit out of him. And the idea of the Don Callis family coming back as one after this match, I do not think is going to be the case.
The greatness of this match cannot shock me. The only thing that would shock me is that we get a clean 100% finish. I think you save that for another time. But the up until the end, it's going to be amazing. I mean, of course, you bring Ospreay in, all this hubbub, Ospreay has to win, even if it's by DQ or whatever you want to do. I mean, that's my WWE brain saying DQ, so maybe it's not DQ, but whatever you do, Ospreay has to be in it. It would be the most Will Ospreay thing to do. The most Will Ospreay thing to do. Because if you followed him for years, this man loves to lose. To lose his debut match in AEW. That would be like the most Will Ospreay thing to do ever. But
No,
it's going to be a tremendous match. Again, I was going to sit in the hundreds. They announced this match. I said I was going to be in the second row. And that is just how much I respect what these two can do in the ring. And I think this is going to be the first match of a very long story.
Oh, yeah. No question. The Continental Crown Championship will be defended by Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson. Like, dude, I mean, those two matches, if they put those side by side, like, fucking hell. That's
a pay-per-view with nothing else.
I know, for real.
That's a pay-per-view. I mean,
exactly.
Like, dude, it's just like, the how loaded Revolution is with wrestling is crazy. It's crazy how loaded this show is. Like, I can't, like, FTR's on it, the show, and I can't tell you that's my most anticipated match. Do you know how rare that is?
I know. Now, for me personally, because Danielson and Eddie Kingston have been tied at the hip for the entire Continental Classic type of shit. Danielson was getting one over Eddie when the tournament was going on, which led to him starting, like, well behind in the eight ball. But he was able to work himself back and win the entire tournament and win the Continental Crown Championship. I think Danielson's getting his man back, and I think Danielson's actually going to become your new Continental Crown Champion.
Dude, that's what I want to happen. I think Eddie Kingston has been an amazing first Continental Champion, but the best version of Eddie Kingston is chasing pissed off Eddie Kingston. The last thing, he's gotten all the titles. He's been a Triple Crown champion. The last thing he wants is that Bryan Danielson handshake. That is the thing he shouldn't get.
Exactly. So I'm going with Danielson. That's my pick. And I think, Eddie, this could be just such a good, like I said, the way these two guys have been tied at the hip, it's honestly, like, since All Out this past year, this has been one of their best stories, I think, that they've just rivalries, I would say. Like, Eddie and Danielson, just beasts whenever they face off against each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they understand it. Their styles very much complement each other. Their hate complements each other. It's amazing. Yeah, I've loved this whole thing.
The International Championship, Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong. My gut is telling me that Roderick wins it because of the Undisputed Kingdom getting involved and fucking over Orange Cassidy. Because at this point in time, just because Adam Cole is not, like, wrestling and he's still hurt, we need the Undisputed Kingdom to feel like a threat, like a legit threat. And I think the best way of doing that is having Roderick beat Orange Cassidy and take away a championship that is synonymous with him.
Yes. Because that will put...
Talking myself into it, I'm going to say that's my pick. I'm going to say Roderick Strong wins the title.
Absolutely. At this point, the Undisputed Kingdom would have three of the four active wrestlers with belts. And if Wardlow wins, like we predict, and Wardlow is the number one contender, they become the most important faction in wrestling in one night. And yeah, most important faction in AEW in one night. And that's what needs to happen. I mean, it definitely needs to happen. I don't feel like there's any energy behind the Undisputed Kingdom right now. So
they need this
big night. They need this big night. And Orange Cassidy, again, he's been a great champion. He's put the international title. He's made it matter. He has made it like 100% matter. But again, I liked him better when he was chasing.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Tony Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo Timeless Tony Storm. I got to make sure I put respect on her name. Versus Deonna Purrazzo for the AEW Women's World Championship. My queen will reign once again. We give the belt and keep it on Tony Storm for all times because she is timeless. The queen, Tony Storm, she will retain her title.
I'm going to say I want it to be a questionable finish where this can continue for a little bit.
Yeah, no,
but definitely Toni Storm. Toni Storm, I want this to be a Toni Storm match. Like, when I first saw Toni Storm on a Progress show, I literally, like, one match, I thought she was the, like, best women's wrestler I'd ever seen. I want that Toni Storm.
Yeah.
And I want that Deonna, I want the Impact ROH Deonna Purrazzo that I've been seeing for years and love it. I want them to go out there and steal the show. I want them to have the time. I want them to have everything. And I want them to go out there and absolutely steal the show.
Yeah, no, they should absolutely blow the doors off of this. And I think they can. I think these two girls will beat the hell out of each other. And like I said, they've done such a good job. Like I said, the Toni Storm tattoo vignette of her messing with their match tattoos and like putting a knife through it, like, is one of the most vicious things I've seen. Like, the act is all ha ha ha, but like Tony's vicious, like, with this type of shit. Like, she does not give a fuck. So I'd love to see this continue. So yeah, like Floyd said, yeah, shenanigans or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, the belt will stay around Timeless Toni Storm's waist. Next, the AEW World Championship 3-way match. Hangman Adam Page, Swerve Strickland, and Samoa Joe. God, how much I want Swerve to win this, but I just know he won't. Like, I want it so bad, but I truly do think the fact is, the story is, Hangman and Swerve cannot stand each other. They are not going to be in the right mind, and Joe's going to capitalize on it. This man, Joe, is the smarter champion of this whole ordeal, and like, Hangman and Swerve are just too filled with hate, and Joe is too filled with the fact that he's the best of the best, and no one's going to beat him. So y'all have your blood feud. Joe's going to keep racking up days as AEW World Champion.
And I want to say this. Storyline, what you just said makes sense, and I completely agree, but I don't want to just say I agree. I want to add my little spin on it.
Go ahead.
My spin on it is, I wouldn't want either one of them to win the title in this show.
I agree. Like, they need to win. They would need to win like in a singles match.
Not even that. It would be completely overshadowed by Sting's last match.
Like, anything on this show for the most part is going to be overshadowed by Sting.
Yes, you don't want your world title being overshadowed. You don't want your world title to be a secondary thought on this show. Even if I planned on Hangman or Swerve winning the match, we do it at the next big show.
Double or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I just have Joe win this one. And, well, we don't know if it's double or nothing, according to the rumors later.
I know.
No, but just have Samoa Joe win. Do that match later. Like I said, I mean, as a person that is a huge Swerve fan, it's probably my favorite wrestler in the company right now. I want him to be the champion, but when he's the champion, I want it to be the big deal that it would be. And so, yeah, I think it's a bad idea even if you thought about switching the title, I think it's a bad idea. Go with Samoa Joe winning. Go with Hangman basically costing Swerve in the end.
Yep, there you go. And finally, Sting's last match. Darby Allin and Sting, the AEW World Tag Team, the EVPs, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. Tornado tag match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. I know that, like, Sting's old school and all that kind of stuff. And old school says you go out on your back. Like, that's just how it is. However, I cannot fucking stand those two.
They are really good at their job.
Just fueled by hate. Just fueled by animosity. Just fueled by the fact that I wish they, like, went away. I want Darby and Sting to win. And Floyd honestly put together an amazing thought that I think he'll mention in his prediction,
yeah.
That I agree with 1,000%, because I think it would help the tag division moving forward. So it's Darby and Sting. Fuck the Bucks.
Yeah. So Darby and Sting. That is my prediction. Want to get that out there first, and, you know, do Sting. Hopefully, does the you know, the speech at the end, and we all cry and hug each other, and we were all there for it, and it's amazing. Yeah. So I want that is beside the point. I mean, of course, then one of them tapping out to the Scorpion Deathlock, you know, hitting the finger splash, tapping out to the Scorpion Deathlock, perfect. The Young Bucks, the brilliant tag team they are, they're going to make Sting look amazing. I know they have to feel honored that Sting picked him for their last match. Like, all hatred and all that aside from what they're doing in their stick or whatever, they're the one of the best tag teams on the planet. I mean they're to me top two of all time. I mean, and most of the time I don't think they're two. Okay, so again, they're going to do right by Sting, and for that, the Bucks will always have a place in my heart because they're going to do right by Sting. But that being said, dude, this would be the perfect reset for the tag team division.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Sting and Darby win the match. They, of course, Sting's last match, so they vacate the titles after the match. And there's one of two options. If you want a short thing, you do a massive tag team tournament and make it important. Make, like, all the big teams in AEW in the tag team tournament. You play it out, Rampage, Dynamite, over the last few weeks. End at a pay-per-view big show. Actually, so the first tag team champions were crowned on a Dynamite. I say ended at a Dynamite, right? Big thing ended at a Dynamite. That's the one option. The other option to me, and this would be the better option, do a tag team Continental Classic. And the finals is the new tag team champions. My personal pick would be, you know, FTR versus the Young Bucks, because they're both two-time tag team champions. And the winner would be the first three-time tag team champions in AEW history. And I just think the tag division has kind of taken a hit over the last few months. I think that's how you fix it. And you get back to wrestling. And I don't think anybody does tournament wrestling right now in wrestling better than AEW. And your fan base loves it. Just look at what the C2 did. So whether you do a C2 or a tournament, I think what's best for business is Sting and Darby winning. Now, if the Young Bucks win, of course they're the fucking Young Bucks. They're the Young Bucks, okay? It's like, what am I saying? Like, I don't. That's not something that needs to be defended to an AEW audience. They're the fucking Young Bucks. And Sting wants to go out of his back. You let Sting do what he's gonna do. But
yeah,
in this case,
whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's Sting's decision. Yeah.
He went out on his back in WWE. He gets the walk out in AEW. That's how I think it.
I agree. Like I said, that's my thought. And again, the idea of a tournament then to reset the tag division and crown new tag team champions, I think, is an incredible move, and I think is the right move.
Yes, I got that.
I don't want to give the Bucks the fucking privilege.
Yes, and I got the idea from watching Clash of the Champions 1, and they were talking about the Crockett Cup, and I was like, they're not gonna be talking about the, you know, they can't call it the Crockett Cup because, you know, NWA owns it, but you can call it something, just like you did with the C2, put your own spin on it. And if you want to do it the heels way, have it call it the Young Bucks Cup. and Young Bucks, I think I'll name it after. And you know what? I think we should be the number one seed. And they have like a super easy path to the finals. Like they wrestle teams, but no team that you actually think can beat them. It would be I mean their characters right now, their character work is my favorite character work in their career, and they're coming out of after one of my guys like constantly. And I don't like that they're coming after one of my guys, but god damn, it's next level character work. I mean, it's Christian level tag team work right now. I know it's your dude, your hero, everything. But if you just take that out of it and look at the character work, oh my god, it's fucking amazing. They're doing less and getting more of a reaction.
I know, but the problem is with it though is like in an instance, like some of the things that Christian does, like people are genuinely like, this dude is despicable. Like, there's no reason why you should root for this man. But then, like, I got the AEW diehards, too, which, listen, I am one of those, too. But, like, I got AEW diehards that are just like, you know, yes, queen, go off with everything the Young Bucks say and everything like that. It's like, they're acting heelish, but it infuriates me because I know there's a lot of people who side with these guys 10,000,000%. And I hate it.
Dude, they're just so brilliant right now. Like, and it's completely different from Christian. Christian's is 80s heel work. It is 90s. It is
yes, the it's classic. It's old school classic.
Yes, this is 2024 heel work. They are thumbing their nose at Twitter. I mean, just social. I say Twitter, but social media in general. The wrestling reporters online, all the rumors, they are literally addressing all of it, but they're doing it tongue in cheek with a middle finger right towards everybody. Dude, I have never, like, as far as the Young Bucks, they're a great tag team, and I've always talked about their work. Man, this character work, dude, it has me on a whole nother level of respect for them.
I will not add.
And again, they're being an asshole to someone I fucking yes. love. You know, it is. I said the same thing about Drew McIntyre in WWE. I fucking love what he's doing.
Oh, dude, Drew's doing great.
And all he's doing is coming at people.
Oh, I know. No, and again, like I said, though, it's the thing, though. It's like it's not just because you feud with or yes. you have like a public beef with. Like, I don't have a problem with Seth Rollins.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with,
dude, he'd rather eat a ghost. He'd rather eat a ghost pepper wing than say something nice publicly.
Say something nice to him. And I'm like, cool, scorch your mouth.
Yes.
No, honestly, it's great. I genuinely just can't stand the Young Bucks anymore. Yes. So, like, that's just where I'm at right now.
So. And you know what? And that's perfect. That's where they want you.
They want me here. Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, yeah. it pisses me off because it's exactly what they want.
And let
like,
me tell you.
And there's nothing I can change about it.
And as much as I fucking love what they're doing on Sunday, when that music hits, I'm booing from the time they go out and any time they do anything good. I hate
you're allowed to fill in the void that I want to be there
for. I'm booing for you. I am booing for all of the CM Punk fans out there. I am going to boo to the point where I might not be able to work on Monday night because my voice is going to
go. I honestly don't know if you will have your voice by that point.
Yes, because I am going to boo the shit out of Young Bucks. And it's like, I do hate you, it's a tip of the hat to the excellent work that they're doing.
There you go. That is our predictions for AEW Revolution taking place this weekend. It's going to be an insanely, insanely good show. I'm so, so excited for it on Sunday. Now, of course, like I said, you still have Rampage tonight if you want to watch, which you should. Rampage, you'll have Rudigo versus Claudio Castagnoli, Magnus versus Matt Sydal for the qualifying match, Riho versus Trish Adora, and you also have The Righteous and Lance Archer in action in a trios match. And then for Collision, you've got Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo, who are going to be talking, and I'm so excited for that. Penta El Zero versus Brian Keith versus Dante Martin for the qualifying match for the All-Star 8-Man Scramble. And then a giant 8-Man tag between Orange Cassidy, Trent Barrena, Hook, Daniel Garcia versus Christian Cage, Killswitch, Roderick Strong, and Brian Cage.
Yeah, it's gonna be an amazing show. Make sure y'all are watching Rampage and Collision. I know they're pre-taped. I know the results are out there. Watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we have some additional news that we need to get to. One thing that we actually forgot to talk about last week, and Floyd, you can go ahead and take that.
Yes, AEW hired God dang it, I had the page up, and I guess I exited out of it. They hired a writer from WWE. Basically, her name's Jennifer Pepperman. She's just going to, from what TK says, it's not going to be like a change in direction, but she's going to be a voice in the room. And apparently, if you're into the backstage stuff of, you know, like wrestling and stuff, Brian Gewirtz, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Yeah, see, but there's no other R there. So I think it's just Gewirtz. I don't know. Look it up, but he's kind of The Rock's personal writer. He wrote for The Rock a year. He went to work for $7 Entertainment. Apparently, Jennifer Pepperman is the equivalent of that for Miss Mercedes Moné. So also, you know, you think about it, WWE does a really good job of, you know, featuring their women's division. And if you're signing or you're hopefully signing someone like Mercedes Moné, you're going to want to put the time and the money and the effort into that women's division. Apparently you bring someone like Jennifer Pepperman in. She worked for WWE for years. We'll find out if it's a solid signing. I know everyone that knows wrestling says it's a good signing, right? I can't say I know anything that she personally had her hands on in WWE, rumored or not. So I don't know if it's a good signing. We'll know in 3 months if it's a good signing. I think that's
I honestly don't know for sure.
Yes, it's like, this is me being like, I'm a fan. This is me being honest. I'm not going to pretend I don't know something I don't know.
Yeah.
The first time I heard this woman's name was when she got hired by AEW. I had no idea who this woman is. So I want to give her all the respect. I don't know her, so I'm not going to comment on, you know, I'm not going to be like...
Like, I know everything about this person.
No, I know nothing about it. Tony Khan seems very happy with her going forward. So let's go. Let's fucking go. I hope she's great because I don't want to watch bad wrestling. I don't want to watch bad shows. Yeah, so, of course, her being amazing only benefits me. So I hope she's amazing. But I literally know nothing about her.
Exactly. Same here. Lastly, we apparently may be getting another AEW pay-per-view. Floyd, you want to go into that?
Yes. Rumors are abound that this is AEW trademarked the term AEW Dynasty. They moved a show that was supposed to be April 10th in Canada. They moved it to May 1st. So if you look at the AEW schedule, after the WrestleMania weekend, AEW, I think it's the 3rd, after the WrestleMania weekend, that whole month is empty. There are no shows planned. There's no Dynamites announced for that whole month until May, that May 1st show in Canada. So feels like something big is happening for April. So... and apparently there might be pay-per-view. Tony Khan said on the press call, that's not something we do. We don't like go through and do the whole, do on the media calls and do the results. It's out there. I think 900 people cover it. Fightful, was it Amy Nemeny? You know, she live tweets it. There's like Denise Salzado. I'll shout out anybody you want. There's so many so many people that literally type out exactly what's said. There is no reason for us to do it. Just none. It's like, dude, I can just go through and retweet what everybody says because that's literally what I do. I just go read it. I never get on the media call. I'm asleep when it's happening. So I'm just like, no. But so the information's out there. Looks like AEW Dynasty, he said he wants to be at 9 pay-per-views. It's the magic number. The reason being because he does 3 ROH pay-per-views, so that would mean he would be doing 12 pay-per-views a year. I'm excited to find out what our AEW Dynasty is. Rumors is that's going to be the return of MJF, so that would make sense that way. There's a lot of things that could happen with it. What do you think about another pay-per-view?
I would be excited about it just to be like, you know, interested in what it's going to pertail. Obviously, it's going to be surrounded by the fact that if you're doing a pay-per-view in April, you're kind of competing with WrestleMania.
Yes.
That's the one thing that I was like, it's interesting, but the problem, like, that weekend is just so, and like, obviously, there's a bunch of other shows surrounding WrestleMania weekend and all that kind of stuff. So like, but the problem is now WrestleMania is a 2-night thing.
Yes.
So you couldn't even do a thing like where you would do it Saturday and then Mania is on Sunday. Like they've taken over the entire weekend. So
I want to say this about it. They have Bleacher Report. They own Bleacher Report. And I don't know how this will work with pay-per-views and cable companies or whatever. I know there's a lot more legal, but You are asking your fan base, the loyal people of your fan base, to spend $600 a month and $600 a year on pay-per-views.
Yes.
$600 a year. As in, and then there's WWE that's $4.99 a month. $9.99 if you don't want any commercials. You need to do something to take away this. I'm not saying lower the price of your pay-per-views. I'm not saying this. But if you could come up with some kind of package where somebody could pay less, I'm just thinking of financial strain that you're putting on people.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I do stuff, you know, to try to relieve it for my friends on my personal, on my own. I'm not going to get into what I do, but I do stuff to try to relieve the stress on my friends. But good Lord, it is, yeah, $600 a year on AEW pay-per-views.
I know.
It's a bit much
in 2024.
Yeah, AEW, well, I guess it'd be, let's see, let me be real. That's the wrong number. It's $450, and then ROH stuff is included with their show. So however much you're paying for ROH, I mean, I guess if you just jump in and pay the $9.99 to be a member of the ROH thing, that brings their shows down to $30. But whatever, it's still a lot of money to dedicate in a world where we don't, pay-per-view is not really a thing traditionally anymore.
I know.
So
yeah,
get this deal signed with Warner Brothers Discovery as quickly as possible. Include pay-per-views in there because, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I know they do decent numbers, but it's kind of an antiquated way of presenting your pay-per-view product.
At this point, yeah, honestly. But yeah, I think that's going to close it out for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, we will be back next week with our review of Revolution. We cannot wait for this show. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, I mean, like, thanks again for tuning in every single week. We really do appreciate you guys. If you enjoy the show, please continue to download it on Google or Apple Podcasts, or if you listen to us on Spotify or whatever you choose to listen to us with, thank you. And please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, and whoever you wish, and rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And then you can also follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And hope y'all enjoy Revolution. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend filled with an awesome AEW pay-per-view that we're going to be getting. And I will pass it off to Floyd, who will close things out on this episode of All Things Elite.
Dude, I am so pumped up for this weekend. Like every time I click, every time I check X, I see another person that I love and think very highly of that is going to the show. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there. I'm going to be hanging with Jason Roberson, J-Ro, and I'm going to be hanging with Brian Koval most of the weekend. Looking forward to that. We're going to do some Bojangles, and it's someplace called Biscuitville, so I'm very excited. Everybody, make sure you get with your friends, family. I don't know. I'll just say this. Wrestling, pay-per-views, all that stuff is so much better with a group of people around you that you can scream and talk about the show with. So find your group, find your crew, watch Revolution, enjoy it. It's Sting's last match. For me, even when I get dementia and Alzheimer's, this will be one of those things I never forget. Like I said, Sting's life, wrestling life, parallels my life as a wrestling fan. So the fact that I get there, be there for it is going to be amazing. The fact that he can still look pretty good and move around pretty good and is going to do have a great performance is amazing. But yeah, enjoy this with your friends. Enjoy this with family. At least get on a Facebook Messenger group. Join your group. Talk about this. This is something you're going to want to communicate. This is probably going to be my favorite review of any show I've ever done, just because I get to just wax poetically and talk about Sting, because he means a lot to me. I mean, there was a few years when I was young, he was my favorite wrestler. I was absolutely a little Stinger, but he's always been there. He's always been talked when I talk about wrestling. So I will leave you like I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite. Come back soon, Kenny.